Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, fellow gamers. Welcome to the Video Gamers Podcast. We are three dads who love talking about gaming, and on Thursdays like today, we break down recent gaming news over the last week. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, he is ready to fight creatures named Deviants, sometimes with guns, sometimes with dance emotes. It's Josh.
You know, sometimes to fight a Deviant, you need a Deviant.
Well, you would know, wouldn't you, Josh?
I would.
All right, and then joining Josh and me, his Lancer assault rifle with a chainsaw bayonet has been collecting dust for a few years, but it might soon be time to dust it off. It's Ryan.
That was by far my favorite thing to do in that game, dude. Just wait behind a corner and just...
Or just stand over the pits as the locusts come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Already just holding the chainsaw, you know, go right into that animation. All right, we have a lot of fun news to cover here today, guys. We got a couple of game previews. We got some gaming news to talk about. Let's start out with probably the most bonkers thing of the week. Let's talk about Once Human. All right, this is a post-apocalyptic open-world survival game that has Lovecraftian character design. This game looks a little bit wild. They're in the middle of their third closed beta right now. I was kind of curious to hear your guys' thoughts. Like, how would you even describe this game, and does it seem at all up your alley?
Paul, one thing you didn't mention is that this is an MMO as well.
It is MMO-esque.
Yes. So yeah, I guess it's not like your traditional MMO, but it is gonna be, you know, a lot of people playing this.
4,000 to 5,000 people per server.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep. That's massive if you ask me.
I mean, Rust felt crowded, and there's what, like 250 people on a Rust server?
250.
You know? So this is funny because I don't know if we covered this before when it was announced. But I have seen a trailer for this game prior to this like article that we're talking about. And it was guys fighting like a big boss, that big tree boss that like climbs out of the billboard or whatever. So I've seen that part before. But then we got some updated stuff, some updated gameplay, some updated info. This game looks weird, man. Like, I kind of like it in a weird sort of way. Like, they showed a lot of you, like, you know, it. I don't even know, like, it's a survival game, but they're shooting. It's third-person perspective, kind of reminiscent of The Division almost. But then you're wearing these weird backpacks where it's almost, like, I don't know. It's got, like, it's clear with, like, a fish tank in it. I don't know what all this stuff is, man.
And that's where you carry your deviations. You collect them almost like Pokemon.
What the heck is a
And they give you different abilities.
I don't know what a deviation is.
No one does.
Yeah, okay. So, but what I do know is this game looks really interesting to me. I like the idea of it being MMO-esque. I like the idea of the combat in the game and the boss fights and, you know, that kind of persistent world almost. But man, other than that, I don't know. Like, Paul, you got to play it today.
I did. Played it for a little bit.
So I'm really hoping that after we get Ryan's initial impressions on this, that you can explain this game to me, because there's a weird part of my brain that's oddly excited about it. But then there's another part of me that's like, dude, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Well, I know you guys were talking about MMO type stuff. I did see too that it's not, there's no pay to win. All the micros in it are all cosmetic, from my understanding too,
which free
is
to play,
which is good. I got like kind of like Stranger Thing vibes as well, kind of with the look and the atmosphere. Definitely. I mean, I'm a sucker for post-apocalyptic. That's why I loved Last of Us, loved Fallout. Just anything like that, I'll hear you out and I'll take a look at it. I love that kind of style. It definitely, like Josh said, it was definitely weird. A lot of the stuff kind of looked different and off, but you know, sometimes that lands. I would love to have a good MMO again to play. I haven't had one of those in a very long time that I was really sucked into. I don't know if it would be this one, but I'm for sure interested to hear what Paul has to say about it.
So in watching the trailers for this, I was a little bit drawn to it. Uh-huh. Simply because I love survival games. Some of the most fun Josh and I have ever had are our times in Rust. And you can definitely tell this has a lot of Rust DNA. You're doing base building where everything snaps to a grid, very similar to Rust. You are building a lot of the same stuff like workbenches, furnaces, water collectors, stuff like that. But the story is completely out there, and none of it makes any sense to me. They're talking about how pregnant women and pregnant animals are turning into trees. You are running through portals. You're activating, I don't even remember what they call it, like space sense, and it lets you see visions from the past. None of it makes any sense to me whatsoever. There's enemies running around that have spotlights for heads. I don't know what's going on in this world at all. I only played the beta for maybe about 2 hours, but I can say I found it to be incredibly fun. I felt like it was pretty much like a mashup of Rust and The Division. Really like it. Yeah. I think you would really like it, Josh. It is, you know how like in Rust, you have to really crush your scrap runs, and you have to unlock all the mats, and it takes you forever to get going? Not here. You're finding weapons out in the open world, you're crafting them within the first hour. And if you look at the overall map, it'll tell you like, here's a settlement. We recommend that you're this level. If you go here, you're going to do missions that are, they're very simple missions, but it's a lot of fun. It's more like exploration based. It'll be stuff like find the mythic chest, loot at least 2 weapon caches, and kill 10 enemies. But then sometimes you go there and it'll spawn bosses. Like that's the one thing that stuck out to me. I watched a lot of streamers play this, and there are like long, big boss fights that take like 9 minutes or longer. That stuff's all really cool. I actually have a lot of hope for this one.
Really?
Okay. But at the same time, it's got some weird, janky stuff. Like sometimes their mouths just stop moving and you hear the voice lines. And sometimes it's the other way around where their mouths are moving and there's no voice acting. And I'm like, is this still like a work in progress? Because it's supposed to launch Q3 of this year. I'm like, I don't know if it's buggy or what's going on, or maybe they haven't translated all of it into English. I don't know, but I think this is one all three of us would actually really love.
Man, you saying I love Division.
So I like, love the Division too.
Yeah, man. Division and Rust.
And Rust, like, man,
so it's pretty fun.
Now, how is combat? Because I read this article on the game, and they were talking about the deviants. They're the mutated monsters. But it mentions that when you fight them and you defeat them, that you get to collect like the deviant powers, which you then can use in combat, which is weird.
Sometimes.
And then it also mentions that if you kill deviants, that you can like actually like make them into companions occasionally, and they'll work in your base for you a la Pal World. So then it's like, what is this game?
It's very weird. And all I can say is I haven't played enough of the beta yet to do very much. I did collect my first deviation, which is a paper butterfly that flies in the air. Aww. You build a little tank inside your base and you deposit your deviations, and they will sit in there and they collect new energy, because when you carry them out and they fight with you, they lose energy, and they also have a morale meter. And so you can like throw all these things in your tank and then they'll stay in your base and apparently work for you. Now, my butterfly doesn't do that, but my butterfly will fly with me and it'll expose weak spots on enemies. And if I hit them there, it does more damage.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's kind of neat. But I will say up to this point, it's been very easy. Most of the enemies, you just click 2 or 3 headshots and they're dead. But you do get boss fights like right away. And it's where they have like telegraphed abilities. You have to like hide behind something while they use a chain gun. And then when that stops, you can jump out, pop, you know, 1 or 2, ammo cartridges into them, and then hide again and pop back and forth. And I'm only level 9, and that took me like maybe 2 hours, But oh, and also imagine Rust, except you always have a dirt bike that you can spawn whenever you want. Ooh. To let you get around the world faster.
What?
Which okay. is a lot of fun. Oh. Yeah, you get a dirt bike. It's pretty baller.
This game sounds... I mean, hearing you praise it really gets me excited, because you and I have a lot of similar tastes when it comes to survival type games and MMOs for that matter. You know, and so hearing like it sounds like the weirdness isn't so weird that it like puts you off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not in gameplay wise right. at all. It's only story. And if you don't even really care about story, you can just kind of skip through it. Yeah. Now, I will say, I have not seen anything like in the videos we saw where they said, play with your friends and solve these puzzles. And then there's these disco balls. And if you do the right dance emote, it'll kill the deviants. Now, I haven't seen anything like that. I've killed all my deviants with guns and crossbows and AKs. I'm not too sure what's going on there, so I can't speak for any later game stuff, but the initial impression was very good. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, nice. I was curious, but now you got my attention.
Yeah.
And with you mentioned the Division, is the gunplay similar? Like, it's not? Because a lot of times in those survivals, you know, shooting the guns and stuff isn't that kind of crisp or clean. Is it closer to the Division gunplay, or is it closer to Rust?
Oh, it's far closer to Division.
Oh, cool.
But I don't think there's any actual like cover-based mechanics.
Okay.
You're kind of just, you know, strafing and yeah. using cover that way. Yeah. Not actually taking cover. Last thing I'll say there is you can also participate in war bands, which they said will have up to 40 or 80 people to yeah. fight other war bands over like control of the map. That to me, that's not just like a battle. That's like an all out war. If you're going yeah. like 80v80,
oh, that'd be cool.
That sounds pretty fun. All right. Well, if any of our listeners out there enjoy our show and they like what we do, please go check out multiplayersquad.com. That forwards to our Patreon support page. You can help support what we do here, which, you know, we just provide lighthearted, family-friendly talk about games. We don't get bogged down with politics or hot button issues, nothing like that. Support starts at just $5 a month. It goes a long way in keeping our show running. Supporters get bonus episodes, special permissions and channels in Discord. All kinds of stuff. Go check it out at multiplayersquad.com. All right, moving on to our next story here. Gears of War. Do we all love the Gears of War series?
Absolutely.
You're darn right I love the Gears of War series. What kind of question is that, Paul? Do you even know me?
I was getting ready to cue the Hammer of Dawn if anyone said no. All right, so the early Gears, everyone played, everyone loved them. I don't know if it's just me or if you guys experienced the same thing. I loved the first two, and for some reason, I don't think I played 3, 4, or 5, and I feel like no one ever talks about Gears anymore. I don't know why that's the case, but we did get some rumors here this week that it seems like we're probably going to get an announcement this summer about Gears of War 6. How do you guys feel about that?
Stoked. Beyond stoked.
Excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm probably like you. I might have played a little bit of 3, but I for sure played a lot of 1 and 2, especially online. I think that's when I got a PlayStation 4 and I didn't have my 360 anymore, and then I just kind of fell off and never played any more of the Gears because I just went PS4 and then PS5. But I definitely loved the first two and probably some of the third. So I'm stoked. I'm excited. I hope it comes back with a vengeance and we all play it.
Yeah, I've actually played 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't think I ever played 5 now that I think about it, which kind of goes to your point, Paul, is that I think the series started off incredible. I mean, Gears of War 1 and 2 with the story
all-timers.
And the combat are all-timers. I mean, they rank up there with Halo, you know, like honestly. Yeah. But then I think they kind of just lost their way, or they got a little too repetitive and the story kind of started to fall off and the combat didn't feel new and fresh anymore. And I think it just kind of started to age a little bit, which is why I think the series kind of took a downturn. I do remember playing 4. It is still a lot of fun, but I remember being not overwhelmed by it. And then I played the multiplayer for a little while, and like they had a pretty good horde defense mode that you could do with people. Very polished game, very fun. But I think at that point, it just like there was nothing new. Like it was like, this is just feel like I've done all this before, which is probably why I've never played 5 at this point.
Yeah, I feel like For a lot of us, we loved Gears because it had co-op campaign. And then I feel like everyone just kind of moved away from that and they got more into just online multiplayer matches. So I think people were more likely to play something like Halo than something like Gears of War. But I will say, I popped in some of the old videos, just watching like Gears 1, Gears 2, Gears 5, trying to get a sense of them. And it really made me realize how much I miss cover-based like action combat.
Yeah.
I really got to go back and like maybe try out Gears 4 and Gears 5 because it's just been way too long.
Dude, I'd play Gears 5. I've never played it. And I'd be curious. Now, I've heard less than stellar things about it, though, at the same time. So it makes me wonder, like, is it just bad or, you know, like,
it's got to be cheap, though, just overdone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'll tell you what, though. Gears 6 gets me really excited because I feel like Xbox needs that exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, to really, yeah. I mean, and as much as I don't like exclusives, it's one of those things where it's like, I really think that they know that if they're reviving this franchise, that it's super important that they get this right and make an impression with it.
Yeah.
If you want, you can get it at GameStop for $13.
Very nice. Yeah, I even checked our Discord server for how many times Gears of War has been mentioned over the last 4 years. It's only been mentioned 23 times. Do you know how many times Halo has been brought up?
There was
928.
927 of those were this last weekend.
Yeah, I know, right?
A lot of them have been playing lately. Yeah, a lot of Halo Infinite resurgence in our Discord. Yeah, even StarCraft has been mentioned more than twice as many times as Gears in our chat. I feel like a lot of people who are younger maybe don't realize how big of a series it was at its heyday.
I mean, yeah. I don't know the time frames, but like Gears 1, 2, and maybe 3 were 20 years ago?
It's like 06, 08.
I was going to say, like, yeah. How long ago was that? So if you've got, you know, I mean, teens that are gamer, like, they don't know what Gears of War is.
Yeah, or they've just heard of it. Maybe they never played
it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a short break, and we'll be right back.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, we are back. Let's talk about a little game that I think looks like a ton of fun called Jump Ship.
Yes, oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, my goodness. I love finding a game that I've never heard about, watching a trailer, and then going like, yo, how have I not heard about this before? Because this looks great, man.
Hype meter 0 to 100 immediately.
Legitimately, yeah. It really was. Like when you and like when you can nail a trailer like that, my brain kind of goes like, yeah, is this real? And then when it's like, no, dude, this is real. And then you start looking into it and you're like, there's people that have played it. Some of the big gaming websites have like an article on it buried somewhere, you know, and then it's like, they start talking about how they were blown away by this. And then I'm like, how is this not more well known? Because I'm willing to bet, apart from a social media post that we made about it, and I think I might have even shared the video in Discord, there's a very little chance that most of our listeners have ever heard of this game.
Yeah. When it started as like a tech demo, right? And then they played it, people played it, and they're like, we need to make this into a thing. Like this is a game, you know. I thought the trailer was kind of meh. I wasn't really excited about it, but watching the gameplay, once they really got into it and all the stuff they could do, I like you said, 0 to 100 on the hype meter. This thing looks cool. The ship flight looks great. The all of the gameplay, it was my type of game. I loved it.
It's a very cool idea. So this is a four-player co-op sci-fi PvE game. There is no PvP. You just hop in four-person squads, not necessarily unlike Helldivers. Like, I'm sure we all kind of thought the same thing. It's a little reminiscent of that. The whole idea is that you are jumping in with your squad, and there are basically three different games that are kind of all mashed together. You have your flying of the ship, which does include things like dogfighting. So it's a little bit like Sea of Thieves in that regard. You have one person who's piloting the ship, but your other people are either repairing things or they're firing cannons, and you're communicating and working as a team. You also land and do these like on foot missions that look really action packed. And then to make things even crazier, there's no video footage of it online yet, but they even work in a little bit of FTL where you are doing mini games to like do maintenance on your ship and things of that nature. And I think what really spoke to me is, you know, IGN does a lot of these previews, right? They're not always great, but Ryan McCaffrey explicitly said like five times in this video, I was blown away. Like, this game is legit. I cannot wait to play more. He just seemed so excited. And this is put together by a small 10-man development team. So that's the one thing. It seems like they accomplished an awful lot. I just wonder how deep the content will actually be or if it'll get pretty repetitive. But I think this is one that I think we're going to have to try out 100%.
I'm in.
I love the idea of a four-player co-op game like this. They even talked about it. They said if this game was just the ship flying around in combat, it would be an incredible game. You know, and the idea that you have four people that have to manage this ship, one's piloting, the other three are running around diverting power. And like you said, they didn't show the actual gameplay of that part, but like we did get a teeny snippet of it where they're like turning these little squares and trying to align them or something like that. You know, and then you can go on the outside of your ship if you're not the pilot with your
magnetic boots.
Yeah, with your magnetic boots. And you can man turrets on the ship to like do combat. So it's like one of these things where you're not just sitting around doing nothing like the whole time. And then it's all seamless. You can land on a planet. You've got these missions where you go in, you get gear upgrades and new weapons and stuff like that. So progression sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun. The little mini games that you get from FTL. I mean, FTL, for people that don't know, Faster Than Light, it's a roguelike game, very, very popular and well-regarded, a lot of fun to play. I've actually played that game a lot. This is checking every box like that can be checked. Graphics look really good from what I've seen so far. So, I mean, I went from not knowing about this game at all to, like I said, 100% hype and like I want to play this game. Where has this game been? How have we never heard about this before?
Yep.
Because if you can mash these up, the developers actually describe the game as Sea of Thieves meets Left 4 Dead meets FTL. Those are three really crazy games that are all very, very unique that mashed together could be an insanely fun time.
Yeah, especially because like I love everything in Sea of Thieves. It's just not enough content. Yeah. And so you start adding all this other stuff on top of it. It could be something really special. Now, Ryan, I got to ask you, do you know which side of the ship port is?
Because if
Josh is piloting our ship, he is going to insist on
piloting, by the way.
Yeah, you're going to need to learn starboard and port.
Port side's always the left side.
Or is it right? is left side.
Okay, yeah, because they would always they wanted the ports to all be universal with the ships, right? And that's why they made all that's port side.
I'm gonna teach you a trick because I'm gonna yell at you when I say, "Hey, enemies to port," and you're like, "Which side is that?" Okay, port and left have the same amount of letters,
four letters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So port it's always left. The left side.
Yeah. But you're saying that that's not why they made it though. They wanted all the ship ports to be universal, so they always put on the left side.
What?
And that's why they called it port side is the left side because the ships would always pull into the same way and all the ports
on the same.
Oh, really? I don't know.
You very well might be right. I don't know why.
Yeah, they
teach
like you something, Josh.
That nautical
I'm
term,
teach
and
you
now we're
something.
Buying it. Yeah,
yeah. Just come up with some crazy nonsense.
Yeah, Josh doesn't care about the etymology. Just what side?
You just better know which side to man that turret, Ryan.
Okay, excuse me. Port side, left side. Got it.
All right. And then to finish things out, we do have two short stories to cover here. First of all, Knights of the Old Republic. We talked about this remake being in the works. It seemed like it was in a ton of trouble. It was in development as a remake for, I don't even remember how long. It was like
long
5 years.
Yeah.
And they said it was still so far behind. It kind of just got scrapped for a while. We thought it might just be dead in the water. Well, it is still being worked on. We have had a couple confirmations of that, but Saber Interactive came out. They said, absolutely, the remake is alive and well. I know I have said previously, if I could have any game remade, for me, number one on the list is KOTOR.
Yep.
It's a game that's over 20 years old or right around 20 years old. I think it's criminally underrated at this point, and I think it would be fantastic to let a whole new generation of people play KOTOR. And I know I'm excited that it's still in the works.
Yeah, when we thought it wasn't, I remember going and just watching all of these videos where everyone was just so upset and so, more than anything, disappointed. Because like you said, I think a lot of people share the same idea with you that that remake would just be so good, and because that was just such a good game, so underrated. And I think the people want it. So when I saw that it was potentially going to be back, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully. But I was just super excited. So I'm stoked. I'm hoping that it goes through.
Yeah. For the youngsters out there that don't know what KOTOR is, it's one of the best RPGs ever made.
Yeah,
it's in the down. Star Wars universe. The characters are all insanely memorable. It's got an incredible story. There's twists, there's turns. I mean, honestly, the closest thing I can think of in modern times to this would probably be Baldur's Gate 3, with like the storytelling and the characters and kind of like how those jive. Like that quality of storytelling is KOTOR. So to have that remade and brought into the next gen, I'm just going to call it, I want to say the next generation or like, you know, modern times, but I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason that people get very excited when they hear about this, because this is one of those RPGs that a lot of people never got to experience, and it's probably a little too dated at this point to go back and try to do. But man, if they pull this off, this is going to rock the world.
It has such a great morality system, the different endings that you can get based on your decisions. I mean, this really is BioWare in their golden age. So yeah, hopefully we'll get this sooner than later. I really hope that this remake turns out well, because it's going to be so disappointing if it's not. All right. And then to finish up our show here, you know, lastly, Hollow Knight Silksong was announced back in 2019, 5 years back. We still don't have a release window. They did blow past the initial release window of first half of 2023. Obviously, we're a whole year beyond that. The game has been rated in South Korea. That was some of the news this week. It was rated as being suitable for players 12 years of age and older, which means that we might finally be getting a release window in the near future. You guys are far bigger fans of Hollow Knight than me. How do you guys feel about this news? Do you feel like maybe we're finally inching closer?
I believe it when I see it.
That's where I'm at.
We made a deal that we would not mention Silksong on the show because it gets delayed every time we do. But a game getting rated means that there's something available. There's something out there for this to happen. So, like, why did that happen all of a sudden? Because how do they rate a game if there's nothing for them to look at? You know, so there's that mindset of like, yeah, well, this means progress is being made. And then it was available on, was it the Xbox store over there? Like, it got a page finally.
So you can wishlist it.
Right,
on Xbox.
So you can wishlist it and stuff too, which is seemingly a minor thing, but it is a clue that says, hey, we might be getting some information on this game here fairly soon. So
it might actually exist. It might be a real game.
It might be. I mean,
maybe.
I'm starting to doubt it at this point. But, you know, and again, we won't talk about it for a long time because we don't want to cause any more delays. But it was news that has some bearing. And I mean, we all just want to freaking play this game, man, and see this game at this point. And Paul, I know you're not as huge of a fan as Ryan and I are, but you can appreciate how good of a Metroidvania Hollow Knight was. And so to have the sequel to that, you know, is exciting for a lot of people.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. In 2025.
Yeah.
Well, it also didn't help that this news dropped on April 1st. So then there was a lot of, wait, is this April Fool's Day?
You can't trust
Day?
Nothing, you see.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I remember saying, I think it was last year, where I said, this is always by far my least favorite This Week in Gaming episode, because you have to sort through all the April Fool's Day stuff. But this actually is real. So it has been raided in South Korea. Now, what that looks like, or is that something that they self-select initially and maybe South Korea can change it? I have no idea what that process looks like, but it does seem like it'll be on its way at some point. I just don't understand why this one's taken so long to develop, because I assume at its core, the movement and the combat will be largely similar to the first. So whatever they're working on, I assume just has to be a lot of level design, fine-tuning bosses and boss mechanics, just trying to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, I don't know how big the developer team for Hollow Knight is. I'm with you in that regard. Like, you have the foundation already. Is that, like, not something you can just use? And I mean, I know there's new graphics and color palettes and things like that, but that doesn't seem like that would take years and years and years to do. So we don't really know. I mean, the developers come out and they've said, hey, it'll be ready when it's ready. We love this game. We are passionate about it, and we want to make sure we do it right. So that's all you get. And I'm okay with that. Like, as much as we want the game, like, dude, just pour your heart and soul into it and then give us the best thing you got. My hope is, like you said, Paul, like boss fight mechanics and other in-game mechanics, maybe they're developing new things and they've got to, like, polish those up and stuff like that. Like, I'd like new stuff too,
because that's a lot, like, of polishing.
Honestly, yeah, I mean, it is, but it's like, at the same time, like, if this is just Hollow Knight, but, you know, it's just a different main character and nothing else really seems that different. I mean, it'll still be fun. I'll still play it. Don't get me wrong. But at that point, it's just kind of be like, I mean, I could have just played Hollow Knight again. Right. So I have a feeling they're reaching for the stars on this one. I'm just not quite sure how.
I hope they are. I mean, I want it to be obviously amazing and I hope they love the game. I just wish this and in general, like, people were just more realistic with timelines. I hate just keep waiting. Okay. You know, and you're just anticipating. And then at some point, you're like, all right, whatever. I don't really care anymore because I'm sick of waiting for this. So, I mean, a year ago or whatever it was, you know, quarter two or whatever of last year is supposed to come out, whatever it was. But I just wish it was just more of a accurate timeline or expectation so that you just don't build up all those hopes. But, yeah, I hope it's a great game. I have no doubt that it probably will be, you know. So, I mean, just fingers crossed.
But okay, so, you know, we haven't heard a lot of news. They've said it's ready when it's ready. If let's say that May 1st, we get news. Hey guys, good news. Silksong going to release at the end of May. 3 weeks out from release time. Right? Like, I mean, we're all going to lose our minds over that. But it's like, would you rather them do that, or would you rather say, "Hey, we have an update for you. It's going to be late 2025." Like, that's, you know, I mean, that's
depressing.
Point, right? Like, I'd rather them just stay silent. And yeah, then come out and be like, we're done. You guys get it in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like, we all love CD Projekt Red. Their PR department is working overtime. There are 8 articles every single week about CD Projekt Red that all say nothing. There was an entire article that I think I linked for you guys that basically said The Witcher 4 will not just be The Witcher 3 reskinned. And that's the extent of the article. It's like, thank you. I don't need an update like that. You know, so there is definitely a sweet spot. I feel like you want to give it about a 3-month head notice. That, I think, gives you enough time to get super hyped, release some new video, and then kind of like build up to it. So I kind of feel like that would be the best timeline, yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up This Week in Gaming. As a reminder, make sure to check out Patreon support over at multiplayersquad.com. And we would love it if you'd come rate our show 5 stars. You can also hit us up on socials at Video Gamers Pod. Our next episode will release on Monday. Make sure to follow our pod so you don't miss any of our content. And until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right. See everybody.